Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. This is episode number 17, and I am so honored to have as my guest tonight, Andrew Carlson, author of Customer Service is the Bottom Line, and the one and only Bruce Irving from Smart Pizza Marketing. Now, this segment was recorded from my Facebook Live show on Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Some great tips in here for getting more from yourself and your restaurant. Let's jump right in.
Hello, everybody. Facebook Live, Restaurant Coach Facebook page. I am so excited to be here with two. I guess I got myself. Two of my favorite guys. We're going to talk about some stuff. This is a new kind of broadcast format we're trying. So bear with us as we kind of work things out. And if my volume's too loud, am I got some echo? Am I good?
You're good to go.
You're good.
Good, good. So tonight, this is the new Facebook Live show, Cure for the Common Restaurant. You like my graphics, guys?
I love it.
It looks nice.
This is my whole new studio setup here for a video recording. So we're giving it a test run tonight. I've been playing around all day with the lighting, and it's been a struggle. So if things aren't right.
That's good, though.
That was good.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. So the show, what we're gonna do is we're gonna basically, you know, talk about what I call is the cure for the common restaurant. I got some questions lined up for these guys. We'll take a little round robin, and this thing's pretty cool. This Be Live platform is pretty cool. So here's the first question, and we'll take it in order. Andrew, you're up first. What do you think is going to be the big trend for 2018?
Oh, the big trend for 2018. Well, I feel like sometimes Los Angeles is in its own little bubble from time to time. So what's happening over here is it's going to be a lot more service orientated. They're going to expect faster and higher quality ingredients. They're going to expect things to be served at a faster pace. And the reasoning for that is because we have these delivery services. So there's these third-party delivery services that come into the restaurants, and that's one of the biggest things that we're going to be focusing on, in at least in Los Angeles and in the big cities, is because people don't want to drive anymore. They're too busy. They want to have things when they want them, and they still want that high quality. So it's going to be, how am I going to get this fast and still maintain the high quality? And that's one of the big trends, is restaurants are going to have to make that shift. There's casual dining restaurants that are now building sole, like, pickup concepts just so they can get in and get out. And if that's not going to, if you can't make that shift or hire those additional people while maintaining service in your restaurant, then that's what's going to really cause you to stop.
Awesome. Bruce?
I agree with Andrew. I think that you're going to see a shift to convenience, right? Whether that be convenience with payments, convenience with ordering, convenience with how people pick up their orders. I think there's going to be a huge shift, and it may be different for the sit-down restaurant to the fast casual to the delivery. It may that may look different for each of one of those categories, but I think that the shift in general is going to be more towards the convenient, right? Our attention spans are not going to get longer. They're going to get even shorter than they are now. People want to have ease of use, whether that be when they call you, when they look you up online, when they go to order from whatever platform you're using. They want that process to be easy and seamless. And the people who can do that and not only do it, but execute it and tell their customers how they do it and make sure that they understand how it's done, those are the people who are going to win, I believe, moving forward in 2018.
Awesome. Awesome. I agree. I think the big trend is definitely convenience is going to rule. And if you're not in the delivery game, you got to get in the delivery game. You got to either, and we'll talk about third party services. What exactly are your thoughts on those? We can kind of segue into that. But you know, some of these third party services, they eat up a lot of profits. What's your intake or your kind of a comment on that? And oh, anybody watching, if you're live and you have some questions, feel free to jump in, or if you have some comments, feel free to jump in and we'll field some questions or we'll field your comments as they're going. So let's roll into this next one. What is your thought on third-party services like Uber Eats?
Well, Uber Eats, yes, Uber is the one platform that I stay away from. The reasoning for that is because if you have multiple concepts, like with Postmates, they lower the percentage. So I have a few clients that are at 20, sometimes even 18%. So that helps a lot. But if you're just getting into it, Uber says 30 is the minimum that they will go. So what's interesting is when you go to tourist-based cities, is sometimes their Postmates is increased a little bit. So it's, the prices are different when you go eat in the store than if you were to order on Postmates. But with Uber Eats, they do minimum 30%. Too bad. That's all that you're going to, you know, we're taking that. And you can't change the price. You can't do anything. And so that becomes really difficult. And so the ones that focus more on, you know, being able to change the pricing a little bit is Postmates. And they kind of have like the best system so far when it comes to working with restaurants. The ease of use, working with, you know, just the type of quality of people that you get coming in from Postmates, at least in Los Angeles, have been really, really well received. Amazon restaurants is another one. That one's a little higher. It's about 25%, at least out here, in single concepts. So it just depends upon what your concept is and if you can eat that a lot of the times. Because like when it comes to the clients, my clients are doing about 30 to 40% business through Postmates.
Oh, wow.
It's huge. A lot of them are fast casual restaurants, but people out here order Postmates more than anything else because if you sign up for their premium account, you get free delivery. And then it helps the consumer that way as well. So you could pay like 60 or 70 bucks for the year and then you get free delivery. It's their premium platform. But Amazon restaurants is just getting started now that they've gone with like Whole Foods. And they're just being able to reach out to more, but do I love third-party services? Not really. It hurts the restaurant, but you have to be so focused on, I like to use it as a brand awareness tactic. It's not just for let's build more sales. It's how can we, especially if you're just opening, how can we just shock the market to let them know that we're here? And that's a really good way of doing it.
Right. Yeah. Bruce, what do you think?
I hate them, to be honest with you.
I hate them.
But I think you have to use them as a search, like try to use them as a search engine, right? Especially if you're a restaurant that doesn't have their own delivery service. Maybe you use them as a way to reach potential customers who otherwise wouldn't know who you are. Like, see, we work with a lot of clients, and what we try to do is we try to take the proactive approach, right? I feel like you can be on offense or you can be on defense. Yeah. And if you use Facebook and Facebook advertising and email and Instagram or whatever platform you're using that you can push your message in front of people, if you're doing that properly, you should be able to intersect those people before they go search for pizza or fine dining or whatever food near me, right? If you're doing a good job on those platforms, they should know who you are before they get to the point where they go search for places. Now, right. If you're not doing a great job, you can use those as search tools. So that way, maybe they didn't know who you were. They found you on Uber Eats or those other platforms. They call you for the first time. Then it's your job to get those people to order from you directly next time. Whether that be make sure that you have something separate in that order that says, hey, I know you used Uber Eats on this one. If you go to our website and order from us directly next time, we'll give you $5 off your order. But you got to go to our website, right? Yeah. And then that gets them used to going to your website, using your online ordering platform, or calling your business, or however it is that you take orders. It gets the customer used to doing it your way. So that way, if your service is good, they like the food, and all else is equal, they'll just go to you next time rather than going to that third-party site.
Right. Hey, Megan made a comment. She goes, she threw in the kind of the into the mix about the delivery thing about the box delivery meals that come to your home. you know, like Blue Apron and stuff like that. What do you think of those, Andrew?
I think those are wonderful for people that want to cook at home. A lot of, like, those things are great, and I think it's a great alternative to always ordering out. It's a great way to build your skill as a cook, home cook. and if you were to do it as a restaurant, I think it would be very difficult to do it just for your brand itself. Sure. But for the food safety, you would have to make sure that you have their correct containers, that if they're going to be gone for 8 to 12 hours gone at work, is it going to be safe for you to bring that stuff home?
Right. And should restaurants send raw food home for people to cook themselves?
I think if you're a restaurant and you want to get into that category of food, you should get into the category where you come up with some sort of way where they just got to reheat it, right? Whatever it is. It's already cooked. It's prepared, whether that be frozen or refrigerated.
Raw stuff home to people. Yeah. I don't like putting anything raw home if I don't have to. Except maybe vegetables.
It freaks me out. I don't want to take anything raw home.
I don't want
to. And the restaurant might start to be liable. And you have to think about it that way, too. If they don't cook it well enough, they could come back and say, well, you... Even though you gave me raw meat, you didn't tell me how to cook it properly. So right. Then the liability's out on you.
I would love if some restaurants near me, like my wife and I are pretty busy. Like we have three kids. Dinner is a priority. But sometimes we get into the mix of, you know, it's already 5 o'clock and we don't have anything to cook dinner. And we order out, where sometimes I would rather order from a restaurant and have it be, you know, maybe I can go to the restaurant and they have prepared meals there and I just pick them up and then reheat them at home. I would like that. I think that would be cool. And if you could deliver that, that would be even better.
Yeah. Mike Anino chimed in. He says, you know, easy breezy with pizza. Send a pizza kit home.
Yeah.
Make your own and cook it.
We used to do that, actually. We used to sell make your own pizza kits.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It was like two dough balls, some sauce, some cheese in a pizza box. We used to have them in the cooler up front. If you want, it was like $10.
Oh, that's
and cool. You just take them. And then we had YouTube videos, so we'd send you with a flyer on it, right? And we'd say, here's your pizza, take home pizza box. Go check out our website, whatever it was, / YouTube. And then it would walk you through the demonstration of how to use your take home pizza kit.
Yeah. And he said, same with pasta. Other than that, it seems kind of scary. I agree. Sending home raw ingredients is always kind of scary to me. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And to me, as a consumer, I don't necessarily want to buy raw ingredients from a restaurant, right? If it's not a grocery store and it's not contained properly, I don't know if I would do that.
Mike said that they did that at a homemade pizza company. They called them cutie pie kits.
Oh, that was cute.
Hey, Bruce and I were at it, but Easy Pie has their desserts cutie pies, right?
Was it?
I think their desserts were called. Remember that the girl logo was a cutie pie.
Oh yeah, that was the logo. I think
that was the logo. Right. That was great. That was incredible.
Yeah, they had some good desserts there. Pizzas.
He says thanks. She's on the same page in the thought process. Awesome.
Perfect.
We like we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I love it.
All right, here's the next one. I'm gonna have Bruce start this one off. Bruce,
right, my battery's gonna low.
Your battery's low.
Yeah, I'm ready. Not my battery. Not my battery for my laptop. Not my life.
Battery for your laptop? Oh, I hate when it happens.
Although it is 9:30 here, so it's getting kind of late on my.
It's getting late there. That's why I should probably hit you first on these questions. You know, Andrew's he's got 3 hours on you, man. He's ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
What's your big audacious goal for next year?
I want every single pizzeria to listen to our podcast and to know who we are and what we do. And that's my big audacious goal. I want every single restaurant that serves pizza to listen and or know who we are and what we do.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Love it.
And there's a lot of them, right? There's in Australia. Oh,
that's pretty big. I mean, that's pretty big. That's what they call those. You know, that's one of those BHAGs. Big, you know, hairy, audacious goals. All right, Andrew, what's yours?
I actually want to get 50,000 of my books into the hands of restaurants, at least in the United States.
Nice.
50,000 of them that's a big goal. I've already gotten to 1,000, but like starting 2018, my goal is 50,000, get them into the hands of people, whether it's a gift from me or whether there's people buying them from other people. I want to make sure to really, oh, there it is. But really, like, people say that's
a really
good book. Thank you.
I'm
but it always shocks me because when you write something, you think it's good. But when people come back and say, this is one of the best things that I've ever read in the restaurant industry, because people don't really focus on the restaurant industry, that really took a turn for me in 2017. Because I never thought I was a good writer. But the more that I did it and the more that I put out a book, and I was like, I just want to share this. This is like my heart, my passion, sharing with everyone. And now people keep saying that it's good. I'm like, all right, this is go time. Now I want to get this into the hands of 50,000 restaurateurs and management so we can make sure that the restaurant community is stronger together.
There you go. I give them out to my clients almost as like, it's like, you know, it's actually required reading. So I give it to my clients. But then the thing is that they like it so much, they order them for their staff usually.
Yeah, I love it. Every time I get a notification, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I sent one to my client in Iceland, and didn't he had like pictures of his staff reading it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I was going to say write a book, but I'll never do that.
You know, my book is actually about a week out now, finally.
Woohoo. That's exciting.
My book turned into a monster. It's 270 pages. It's huge.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thanks for the shout out.
Yeah, Mike's awesome. Yeah, grab a copy of Mike's book. Grab a copy. Well, Mike has a book coming out next year. And then grab Andrew's book. Doesn't Amazon have a deal on your book today or yesterday? Or
yeah, they can't. No, they still have it on there. It's $9.99 right now. It's cutting 50%. I don't know.
Amazon, grab his book now. Yeah, Amazon just does what they want, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's the weirdest thing. I logged in yesterday and I was like, oh, it's 50% off.
Amazon just does what they want. Amazon gives no F's. They just do. Do what they want.
When you can buy Whole Foods, you can pretty much do whatever you want.
You buy Whole Foods, yeah. You pretty much, you know, we'll do what we want. All right, I'm gonna throw this one over to Bruce. This is another good one. Where do you see social media marketing going in 2018?
I think video. I think things like this that we're doing here is going to be the trend. Oh. And I mean, we've been talking about video for a year and a half, so it's not like it's new. But I don't think that it's completely saturated yet. And I don't think that it's for everybody. I think that there's a certain segment of the market that can get away with it. And I think that it can make you look really good or it can make you look really bad. So you have to really be careful about it. But I think that it's going to be the trend, whether that be, two things, I think video. And I think that messaging, like advertising or communicating through messaging apps. Yep. Is going to be big in 2018. I mean, we already see that right now with Facebook Messenger and the way that you can advertise through that. And you'll notice that when you do posts on Facebook, you see them auto add the send message without you really wanting to do that if you upload a photo. So if you look at that, you can kind of see that Facebook wants you to do that. So I think that that's going to be the next spot where people are spending their time and attention, at least in the marketing world.
Awesome. Andrew?
I think I'm going to go with Bruce on this one, especially when it comes to the messaging. People, if they have a question, they want it answered immediately. Like if you look on people's Facebook pages, they'll say they message within 2 hours. The average time of messaging somebody back is 2 hours. Same thing on Yelp. It's the same thing that's happening on Instagram. And people want to be social at that moment. When they have the question, they want it answered. And it's really difficult if you're the restaurateur that's running your restaurant and then trying to manage social media as well. Right. So being quick to, you know, responding to these inquiries online is going to be one of the biggest things, I think, when it comes to social media marketing in 2018. And then we could do, I know Bruce did a segment on like Facebook bots, and he's been testing that for a while.
He's the bot master.
I think that there's a line there that you don't want to cross. So you don't want to make the bot seem like it's a person. You want to let the customer know that like this is a bot. Like I'm not really here, unless you are really there answering the question. Like this is our automated thing. Yes, it can help you if you ask it the right questions and hit the right buttons, but it's not going to be perfect. And if you have a specific question, there should be a way for the customer to either get a phone number or leave a message that somebody will be able to answer and respond to in an orderly fashion. I think that the other thing that we've been talking about for a long time is Facebook advertising. And with video, advertising is less expensive. Like you could reach more people for less money. And the Facebook advertising platform is kind of filling up for advertising space. Like there's not a whole lot of space available. So what that's going to do is that's going to increase the cost of those same ads. So the same ads that you may be getting for, you know, let's say $1 for easy terms now, they're going to cost you $1.50, $2 moving forward because the amount of space available is low. It's still cheap, but Google AdWords was cheap in 1999, 2000, 2001, right? And then now it's too expensive for most small businesses to use.
Right.
I think that if you get in now on Facebook, you got a couple more years before it comes to the point where all those big brands are going to be online dominating the marketplace. You're going to be priced out of the market.
It drives all the pricing. Okay.
Yeah. When Macy's says they're going to spend $200 to $400 million on advertising and digital, like that's going to price you out of the market as an individual restaurant who works in the corner and you've got a $500 a month marketing budget.
Exactly.
So I'm going to ask a question to Bruce and to you, Donald, because you focus on marketing. So when it comes to videos, does it have to be a professional video or does it have to, or can it come from like an iPhone? And how does that differentiate, especially when it comes to bigger brands that have the money that can have the professional style video? Does that make a difference for restaurants that can't afford this high quality
cameras? I think
cameras.
The biggest thing is too many people overprocess it. Think they got to have slick stuff. You know, they have to have a professional setup. They have to have lighting. You don't. The biggest thing is just get your voice out there, but be authentic. I think that's the biggest thing. And that's the biggest thing that you can pick up your phone and you can do right now. I mean, Andrew, you put up some stuff today talking about the Facebook Live tonight and you used your phone. And it was authentic. It was real. And you got a lot of views on it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't some slick production. You didn't overprocess it. You didn't edit it out, you know, or, you know, I need the right filter for this. You know, you put it out there. That's the whole big thing about social media as far as posting. And this is where it's different. I do a lot of social media posting. Bruce specializes in marketing. And advertising. There's two different things. I've even noticed that my posts organically are starting to, you know, not to be as effective, even though I post a lot. So, you know, my big hairy audacious goal for 2018 is just to dominate, and really, and actually tap into Bruce's brain and, you know, learn how to really be effective as far as advertising on social media instead of just posting. That's probably my big things. And being out there, I think, is the biggest thing you can do. It's just getting it out there. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. If it's raw, it's, you know, think about the, you know, I mean, Andrew, you're a millennial.
Yes, right? I am.
Yeah. So it's instant expression. You know, you put out stuff on, you know, you put out stuff on social media. Hey, this is the stuff I'm eating. This is I see right now. This is what I'm going through. This is my life. This is what people want. Restaurants need to be spontaneous too, like that. They need to just put stuff out there. Unfortunately, a lot of people who own restaurants are maybe the older demographic. And, you know, we want things to be perfect. We want to have a big show, a big production. If you saw how many damn lights I have here, you freak out because, you know, it's crazy. But that's not what it's about. It's about, especially for restaurants, getting your message out there. So many restaurants don't take advantage of the medium, and you have no excuse. If you have a phone that takes video, you have no excuse not to market and do videos for your restaurant.
Totally. I agree 100%. I think that there's a difference between what your objective is and what your brand is. Like if you're Starbucks, you're probably not going to use your iPhone, right? Because you're Starbucks and people have a certain expectation for what you produce. But if you're the local restaurant down the street, Donald's right. Like, pick up your phone. And you know what the cool thing about video is? Like, you can go back and delete those. Like, you're going to look back right now. If you go back, and please don't do this, if you go back on our Facebook page and watch the first videos that I produced about 2 years ago. I'm going to go delete them after we get off of here.
You better.
You're going to be like, really? Like, you're going to get better at it as you do it. The only way to get better at producing videos and knowing what works and what doesn't is to produce a video, right?
Right.
And then once you do that and say, hey, this one worked really well, this one didn't work so well, what was the difference? Well, my hat was backwards in this one. It was forwards in this one. I was sitting down. I was standing up. The light was good. The light wasn't good. You're just going to get better at it as you do it more. So the only thing that you could do is start, because you never know what works and what doesn't if you don't do anything. So start producing videos, use your phone. As your business builds and you get better at it, you can invest in a camera or some lighting or somebody to come in and say, hey, listen, I don't want to produce that video on my phone. download it to my computer or Dropbox, edit it, and then put it out. I'm just going to hire this guy for $150 to come in and shoot a video for me, because there may be diminishing returns on your time. So just start. Do a video. See how it works for you. Get comfortable doing it. And then as you do that, you're going to get better at it.
My favorite three words are launch and learn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to get better at it. You'll figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the only way to do it is to do it.
The only thing I ever say is you don't want to launch and learn. Skydiving. That's the only thing. have some training. Don't just launch and learn on the way down.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Everything else is good though.
There's so many different platforms. You can use Snapchat or Instagram Stories to practice and get comfortable on the camera before you really start producing videos that go out to the whole world that everybody can see.
That's the thing. Just if you're not comfortable in the camera, grab your phone. Just make some videos for yourself. There's a great story about Giada. She was like terrified of the camera. And what she did is her brother followed around for a month with one of the little handheld cameras and just filmed her so much in her face all the time that she finally just got so comfortable with the camera. Now, she's a pro. If you're not used to it, it's awkward. But make some videos just talking to the camera. Just get used to getting that thing in your face.
That's you got to get used to it. Like it's technology in 2017.
Moving forward.
He went dark on us.
He went mood lighting on us.
Timers.
You got to get comfortable to do it. And the thing is, like, the younger generation, the X and millennials, they're comfortable with doing it. So when they start to own restaurants and businesses, they're going to come in and they're going to do it. And they're going to be used to it and you're not. And they're going to dominate and you're not. You know, like, you didn't get used. You didn't learn how to ride a bike. You figured that shit out, right? You weren't born on a bicycle. So don't, the excuse of I don't know how to do it, it's not what I grew up with, is just not a good excuse.
Yeah, that's a bad excuse, actually. All right. So what is your favorite gift to give clients?
Results.
No. All right. That was a good one.
That's good.
Peter's like, damn.
That's a good one. That's good. I also like just to give my book out, but if it's another gift to a client, it's, you know, by making sure that once you're done with them, they leave better than they were before. And then also, just especially when it comes to the restaurant owners, I like to surprise them by a little like day trips. If they like to go somewhere and I figured out like what their special thing is, I send them for a day and I look over the store. I'm like, don't think about anything. I've got this. You don't even pick up your phone. I have them turn off their phones.
That's a good one.
Because restaurants, the owners get so consumed by everything happening within the restaurant that they can't unplug. And I'm like, go unplug. I got this.
Cool. Yeah. For us, it was like Thanksgiving and Christmas was the only days we could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those are the only 2 days you can. Those are special holidays, obviously, because they're special holidays with the family. But those are like the 2 days where you can, like, there's not much that's going to happen. And if something does, it's like, who cares? We have insurance. Nobody's there. You know, if someone breaks in or the place catches on fire, whatever, we'll deal with it tomorrow. Yeah. But I like that one. I'm gonna have to use that one, Andrew. We'll watch the store for you. That's your, here's your Christmas card. We're coming to watch the store for you.
Take the day.
What about you, Donald?
You know, you stole mine, man. The results one was my go-to. Bruce like stole my thunder. And then Andrew stole my second thunder. Because I always say that the goal of a consultant or a coach is to improve the client's position. Mm-hmm. So you guys like wiped me out. You guys took off.
All right, next question.
Next question. What is the one thing that you think restaurants can do today? I mean, today now to improve their business?
I think communicate better.
That's the right there.
I think that goes to everybody, to their customer, to their employee, to their spouse. To their managers, like just communication. I think that every problem is a communication problem, you know, and if you communicate better and more effectively, you have less problems.
You bring a tear to my eye.
I learned that. Listen, I was a really bad communicator when I was operating. So that's something that comes with age and time.
Well, you know, I always say all business problems are people problems. And my second part of that thing I always say is all people problems are usually communication problems.
Yeah. There's always a point where you should have a conversation with somebody. It's like I always relate to like my grandparents, right? There used to be a time where when I was younger, I would see them a lot. And then I got older and I moved out, and you know, you should call your grandmother every week or two. And then all before you know it, 2 weeks goes by and you're like, all right, I'm going to give her a call. And then 4 weeks goes by and you're like, all right, now I feel a little awkward. And then 6 weeks go by and you're like, now I'm embarrassed. I don't want to do that. So right. It's always like, you know what? When you feel like you should do something, you should just do it at that moment. If there's a conversation you feel like you should have, just have it right then and there. Don't delay.
Yeah.
Love that. And right. To piggyback off of that is okay. Listen more, is to listen and communicate more and listen more, because what's happening right now is there's a lot of people that have felt silence for a really long time. And when it comes to like training, they don't say anything. They won't say anything. They won't say anything. Even if they don't understand it, they're not getting something, but they're basically taking what they know and going on to autopilot. Because they're like, I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to mess up. And we need to make sure that we're opening our ears a little more instead of just talking to people, communicating, yes, but also listening and making sure that we're actually taking in what people are saying, what your staff is saying, what your customers are saying, and then figuring out how we can improve the business that way.
Yeah. You know, podcasting actually taught me to be a better listener, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, because when I started my podcast, was a really bad listener. And when I first started the podcast, what would happen to me is I would be thinking about my next question or the next topic that I wanted to talk about while the other person was talking, right? So they're answering the question I just asked. And I'm like, okay, the next question is going to be this, or we're going to move on to this. So focusing on just one thing at a time, which that is just audio, right? Or having a phone call with someone and say, I'm not going to think about my next question until I fully listen to what their answer is. Because at that point, maybe you'll have a different question at the end of it. That helped me a ton.
That's true. That's very true. I think the one thing that restaurants can do today to improve their business is to turn their shoulds into musts and take an action. Do something. You know, stop sitting on the sidelines. You know, there's all kinds of those things that you should do. And, you know, my thing I always say is most restaurant owners shit all over themselves. You got to take something that you know that you should do, make it a must do, and then take some action today. Jim Rowe chimed in. Jim's a really big operator up in the Pacific Northwest. You think you're freezing, Bruce? I think Jim has it probably colder than you, actually.
I feel bad for him.
One thing he says he need to do is raise their prices. More money gives you opportunity to get better service, more marketing, remodel, more training. The list goes on and on. I do think a lot of restaurants do need to readjust their pricing. I'm always shocked how many restaurants haven't updated their pricing in a long time.
Yeah.
I had somebody the other day. I mean, that's actually about 4 months ago. They hadn't raised their pricing in 6 years.
That's crazy.
6 years.
6 years.
Ooh. Oh, Jim and Bruce, I think I have it the coldest out of everyone. I think it's the coldest over here.
What do you got?
It's like 68. Oh, I was joking.
You suck. I don't even know what temperature it is here. It's like pretty damn cold, though, that's for sure.
What is it, Bruce? Jim's winning so far. Jim's got 28 degrees. Anybody else out there got lower than 28 degrees? Jim's winning.
I'm going to look it up right now on my phone.
Whoever's got the lowest, I'm telling you right now, here's the deal. Anybody who chimes in that has the lowest temperature can beat 28 degrees, I will send you a hard copy of my book when it comes out.
There it is.
We're 36 here, so.
Oh, okay. So looks like Jim's getting a book.
He's got his feet.
I don't think anybody can beat Jim. 28 degrees, that's pretty cold.
I like those responses. Those are good responses. All right. I like raising the prices, too. There are a lot of people who need to raise the prices, and I think they don't out of fear. Fear of losing out.
Yeah, yeah. Fear of losing out. That's the biggest one. That's why those LTOs work out. Limited time offers and stuff like that. Fear of losing out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, Andrew, up to you. What's your favorite quote? I love this one. This
is my favorite. My favorite quote is, I'm going to just summarize it. Basically, it's the Maya Angelou quote of it. People are going to remember how you make them feel more than, you know, than what it is that you say. So everyone's going to remember how you've made them feel, especially when it comes to in the restaurant, your employees, your customers, everything comes down to a feeling. when you try to remember something, you remember a feeling first, and then you try to put together the pieces of what actually happened that day. So if you have a conversation with somebody, if you've made them feel a certain way, that's why I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. But when it comes to standard, when it comes to like,
you're on the right show,
tests and everything, people, when it comes to training, like when I'm doing trainings and I say, oh, there's a test, people freak out and they're like, why is there a test? If you say the word test, they're like, and they freak out. Oh. But they know this stuff, but they knew it and learned the stuff when they were in a different state. They were in a happy state. They were in a, you know, a state where they were excited to learn. And then when you threw a test in front of them, they clam up and they can't remember anything. So it comes down to a feeling. And if you can get them to remember a feeling, then they're going to be able to remember and recall a lot more things. Right. But that's my favorite quote.
Well, Andrew, you study NLP like I do. You know, mm-hmm. what's our big thing we say in NLP? Yeah, I know your conscious doesn't know, but your unconscious knows.
Exactly.
What's your favorite
that's
quote?
Right.
Mine is everything is right. figure outable.
Everything is figure-outable?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Like every issue, every problem, everything that you're trying to work out is figure outable. You just have to either spend the time or talk to the right people or read the right article or book or watch a YouTube video. Like everything you've tried to do has probably been done before. You just got to do enough research. Like Elon Musk is going to put people on Mars. If he can put people on Mars, pretty sure you can find employees to cover Friday's shift.
There you go. That's true. I was my favorite quote is probably is the one I love, especially when I feel, you know, when you know, a lot of people feel overwhelmed. My favorite quote is a Mario Andretti quote. If everything seems under control, you're just not going fast enough.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite.
Then I'm going pretty damn fast. It seems pretty out of control.
You're going pretty damn fast.
No.
Right, Andrew. What's a new belief, habit, or behavior that has most improved your life this year?
Who?
This year.
Well, vulnerable. I think the biggest belief that I've had that has improved this year is that I'm a fantastic communicator. Because before, it was interesting. Halfway through this year, I started to do a lot more podcasts. And I had a belief of, oh, people aren't going to want to listen to me. Or I'm just the guy behind the scenes in the restaurants. Nobody wants to hear me talk. And it was a really weird thing. Because I would talk really fast on some podcasts and I would forget what I wanted to say. And now I'm like more poised. I can communicate a full thought across without going on a million tangents. And it's just more confidence in going into a training and standing up on a stage. I am 10 times more confident walking into a restaurant that nobody knows me and I can train a whole team of people now than I could in January, February, or even March. So that's something, the really cool thing was that when I figured out that I am a master communicator and I actually know this, then people were like, oh, now it's hard for me to shut up. And people are like, Andrew, I'm like, okay. Let's do an exercise.
That's awesome.
All right, Bruce, how about you?
This is probably this year, but I've been doing it more this year. I have this little book right here. And what I do every morning is I try to write three things I'm grateful for every morning, right? And it could be the smallest things like heat, right? It's like wake up this morning, it's 20 degrees and it's pretty cold. And I'm like, you know what? I'm glad the heat kicked on. And it makes you reflect about what you're going through in your life and realize that there are a lot of problems out there that a lot of people have that maybe you don't, right? We're pretty lucky that we can have the opportunities that we have and live the lives that we live. And you know, there's a lot of problems out there for people, whether they have health issues or whatever those issues are. I just want to make sure that I wake up with gratitude every day and I'm grateful for the opportunities that I have and I appreciate them and I don't want to take them for granted because, you know, like who knows what happens tomorrow? You could drive down the street and get hit by a bus, right? And your life is over. And I never want to look back at the end of the night and be like, oh, I wish I did this, or I was angry for too long, or something upset me that was silly. I just want to have gratitude throughout the day. Just be grateful for every moment that I have.
Right. I think attitude of gratitude is fantastic.
Yeah.
My biggest habit this year or change in behavior was I really got focused in on the ketosis diet, and I started taking it seriously, and it's been really, really beneficial for my health and my weight. So,
what is that?
The ketosis diet. Ketosis is when you're in ketosis, you basically burn fat as your primary fuel. Because most of the time we burn carbs and sugar.
Yeah.
Give you like a real short thing. Most of the time we burn carbs and sugar. So when you go to the ketosis, basically it switches a fuel system in your body where you're burning more fat. So it's not that I go totally, you know, no carbs. I go low carbs and I really cut down my sugar. And you'd really be shocked how much sugar.
Yeah.
Everyday thing you eat, everything, everyday stuff. You know, I used to think that, you know, I was eating, you know, I was eating fruits and, you know, eating yogurt and that was being healthy, but it was full of sugar. And yes, Jim's right. Yes, I put butter on my salad because butter has no carbs, no sugar. So wow.
I was reading that people put, there's like a certain butter that people put in their coffee, right? Am I right about that?
Yes.
Oh, the bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, my wife was telling me about that, and I said, "You are crazy."
Out in Venice, man, out in Santa Monica, a bulletproof coffee. Yeah,
I check it out all the time.
Do you really? Next time I come out, we gotta go. That was the thing I love. Jim put up a new thing. His new habits to go to bed thankful every night. My wife would always say good night, and they tell each other that we are there, thankful, and they'll always list a few items. That's always good. That attitude of gratitude makes a huge difference in your life.
It's changed my life, believe it or not. Like I used to,
you'd be surprised how many people could use adopt a little attitude of gratitude, and they would change their life. You know,
makes you when you you go outside and someone puts a dent in your car, you're like, that doesn't really matter.
I don't know about that.
You can always fix it.
At least it wasn't totaled.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't totaled. That's true. At least it wasn't totaled. That's true. All right, Bruce, this one is up for you. What's a bad recommendation that you hear others make to restaurants?
A bad recommendation. Try to do everything for everybody. Try to add this menu item or add that menu item or try to deliver or try to add tacos if you're a pizzeria or add things on your menu that you just shouldn't. Like, I think you should stay in your lane and you should focus on one thing and do that thing extremely well. And then once you master that, decide what you want to do. And make sure that whatever you're doing, you are the best at it before you try to please everybody.
That's it. How about you, Andrew? What do you think? What's some bad advice?
I had somebody say something pretty weird this year at a client, and it came down to the company was becoming split. Everyone had their hands in the different pots, and everyone was being overworked and just got really tired. And nobody was really understanding what was going on in the restaurant. They were just so split focused on everything. And a consultant came in and basically said, you don't need to hire anyone else because you're spending too much money anyway. So you have to just work 10 times harder. And I'm like thinking to myself, that's not going to boost anyone's productivity at all. If you're so split focused, you need to bring somebody else in to alleviate that so you can boost your productivity and not burn out your central team. That's what you have to do. Even if you have to make some cuts in different areas, you have to figure out how you're going to make sure that this business is sustainable in the future, not just in the next 3 to 6 months, but in a year, 2 years, or 5 years. If you want to make sure that the restaurant's open and you all have jobs, you have to do that right now.
Yep. I agree. Throwing more hours onto something is sometimes not, you know, working harder is not necessarily the best thing to do sometimes, and throwing more hours at it. And I always love it when I, you know, I go in and I talk to someone and I ask like the GM, how many hours are you working a week? I'm working like 70, 75. I'm like, why? And then we do a time audit and then we find that he's spending a lot of time doing things that probably don't really have a lot of ROI, return on investment for him. So.
Yeah. And I think another mistake people make or some bad advice is like, you don't always have to watch what everybody else is doing, right? Do what you do well and do it to the best of your ability and like stop worrying about or watching what the other people are doing in your area.
I had an owner that would actually take off at night during dinner rush. He would take off and drive down the street to count how many cars were in the other restaurants Then he would get himself all worked up because then he'd go to a restaurant that it was like he really didn't like. And he'd park and he'd walk up and look in the window in the restaurant to see if there was anybody in there that he knew that was eating in that restaurant. Yeah, it was terrible.
All restaurant owners do that. I don't think there's, I don't want to say all, but a lot of them do that.
I hope they don't.
I think I know quite a few people who do that.
Megan chimed in. She said the worst advice she ever got is that's just the industry.
Oh,
yeah, that's one of those stereotypes that we need to break in 2018. The three of us are all on a mission to help break down some of these common stereotypes and phrases that have come to the restaurant business that don't serve us and don't serve our industry. We wonder why there's a hard time attracting people to work in the restaurant industry. It's because of stuff like that. It's because of these stereotypes and these cliches that we've thrown out there that basically don't really describe really, really outstanding restaurants. They describe good restaurants or bad restaurants, but they don't describe outstanding restaurants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bruce, tell me one thing that you failed at in the past that has set you up for success today.
I mean, there's so many things. I probably failed at more things than I've been successful at, that's for sure.
Oh, this is long.
I'll give you one. So we opened a second restaurant when we were operating ours. We opened a second one, and it was in a smaller town with a less demographic. And we opened it, and we did really well. And then it started to, you know how you always open a restaurant, you get really busy in the first couple months, and then it starts to taper off and even out. And what happened was it didn't really do the numbers that we needed to do. And instead of just cutting our losses quick and moving on, we chased the market down. The original more successful restaurant started to make up for the losses of the less successful, smaller restaurant. And we did that for way too long. And it ended up costing us a ton of money and a ton of time. And we should have just cut the cord and sold it quick when we had the opportunity to. And we didn't. And that taught me to cut my losses super quick. We'll start to do something now. And if I don't see it working the way I think it can work, we will immediately stop doing it and move on to something else rather than trying to fix something that could work, but it's not working right now. And because time is just something that you'll never get back. Like, you can get money back and you can get opportunity back, but you'll never get time back. So it taught me not to waste a second.
Andrew, how about you?
For me, it came to from a training perspective, creating a training program and having this training program. I was always just hurrying to get people onto the schedule. That's what my main focus was. I'm going to train people so they can get on the schedule so I don't have to work as hard as the GM or the regional or any of those other things. But what happens is they end up being poorly trained, and I just threw them on the schedule, even if they went through the training program and they might not have been trained to their best ability. They weren't ready, and I still threw them on. I said, that was 5 days. Go away. You're on schedule. That's it. And they were like, I still don't know how to do half of the things. So what we ended up started to do was the training program is basically the probation period. If it's a 1 week training program, a 2 week training program. And just like Bruce said, if they cannot perform up to the standards that you need, then you cut your losses early. Because there's nothing worse than having somebody coming into the restaurant and knowing that they're not going to be able to perform where you need them to perform, but you still need that warm body on the floor. That's just going to bring the morale of your staff down 10 times faster than if you were to be a little short-staffed and just bring an extra manager in for the day.
Yeah, probably one of the things that I've failed at in the past, and when I owned restaurants, when I owned my first restaurant, was not asking for help, you know?
Yep.
I could figure it out. I could work through it. And everything is figure outable. I do agree with that. But sometimes it is nice to get a little help. And, when I first opened my first restaurant, I knew how to run a restaurant. I didn't know how to run a business. That was the big thing.
Yeah.
And I reached out, I got a mentor, and that changed the tide for me. So
that's totally different, though. Running, being a manager of a restaurant and running the day-to-day operations is much different than running the business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm always shocked that how many, I've been to a couple of recent new restaurant openings, and there's a difference between being on an opening restaurant team and opening the restaurant from scratch. I mean, you could be on a team, but you might have a certain part of the opening that you're responsible for. There's a whole difference between being responsible for the whole opening and having all the balls to juggle, all the different components to handle at the same time. It's a lot different. So, and that became apparent when this last opening I was at, it was pretty rough. So,
that's too bad.
It was pretty brutal. Megan made a nice comment. Her husband's eyes are, they're writing a business plan, and we hear it all the time, but you guys are really inspired us. Thank you. No, thank you, Megan. Thanks for thanks for listening. Thanks for taking this advice and stuff like that. All right, I'm going to give you one last question. Here we go.
All right.
Andrew, I don't know what your answer is. Recommend one book or audio book.
Oh, man. Andrew, I'll let you go first while I look for it.
Well, I'm not going to plug my own book. Customer service is the bottom line. You can get it on Amazon. But another book that I think is really great for if you're going to hire management, if you're going to have anyone on your team, The Power of Habit. And that just talks about how people create habits and how to build habits and how to build good habits. So that's a really good book to give every one of your managers. That when it comes to when you're training, when you're dealing with people on a daily basis, how do you continue to form good habits and how do you eliminate the bad habits?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, I'm going to be honest here. I don't read a ton of books. But I do listen to audio books, not as many as I should or I used to, but like the 10X rule by Grant Cardone is a pretty good one. I like The Alchemist is a good one for about, like, you know, an older book. If you want to listen to an audio book about like just changing the way your mind thinks and how you see things totally changes the outcome that you could possibly have. So those are two ones that I enjoy.
I would probably throw in, I like Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Mm.
Yeah. I think knowing your why and knowing who you are and what you stand for is another key component that a lot of restaurants miss. And and going back to our last question, tell me one thing you failed at in the past, set up for success. Jim Rowe threw in there, his biggest mistake was not using a budget to run his restaurants. Mm-hmm. You know, food and labor budgets are essential. Another thing I am constantly shocked at,
yeah,
how many restaurants do not have an active budget?
It's crazy. I think a lot of people get into the restaurant industry because they want to get into the restaurant industry. And I mean, I know I get a ton of emails from people who are, they're like, I want to open a pizzeria. I think I just did a show with Tony Gimignani about this, and he gets the same emails. Like, I want to open a pizzeria. And we're like, great. Have you ever worked in a pizzeria before? And they're like, no. Well, I'm an attorney. I'm like, well, maybe you should go work in one. Eating pizza and running a pizzeria is much different.
I always tell people like that, you know, you can be a restaurant investor, but you don't have to be an operator. You can be an owner.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, hire good people to run your business for you and sit on the sidelines and be an owner, but you don't have to be an operator.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're right. That's a good point. Find the right people to team up with.
Yeah.
I've done a ton of podcast episodes where there's multiple partners, and I'll tell you what. Every single one of those partnerships, the two people are completely different. One's on the podcast and one isn't, because one's an extrovert, one's an introvert. One likes to be in the kitchen, one likes to do the books. One's a people person, one's not a people person. There's never been two people fighting to get on the podcast and talk at the same time. The partnership never works out. Those are the unsuccessful ones who go out of business or go bankrupt. But yeah, the most successful partnerships are people who find the people who have opposite skill sets from them.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. I think of most a lot of areas of life is find people that complement your strengths.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, that's the biggest thing. I'm a big fan. I do a behavioral survey called ProScan. It's very similar to DISC, and I use it in my coaching to help build teams, because you definitely want to have, there's a business balance. If you're, you know, high dominance, you have a certain way of operating, you got certain strengths that you should play to. But you need other people, because I tend to find a lot of people that have high dominance usually have low conformity, which is usually your systems trait or your kind of attention to detail. And, you know, and those are the things that slip through the cracks or the little things. So it's really good that you need to balance your team out. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, Megan said Fish is a great book. Also, Jim kind of also said too, Fish is a great book.
What's that one? I'm not familiar with it. Do you know what that is?
I think it's from the guys who did, can't remember the name. I've seen the book before. It's like one of those little short story fable books.
Okay.
Like Who Moved My Cheese, stuff like that. Or One Minute Manager. It's a quick read. It's easy. It's a fast read, actually. So, Titus is quoting one of the things I say all the time. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. He's always amazed at how many operators and managers have no clue what their food cost is or even have an accurate P&L statement. That's so true. It's sad, but it's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that goes to a bandwidth issue, too. A lot of people just have too much on their plate in order to sit down and take the time to do the numbers.
Yeah, or they're not good at numbers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Again, you know, play your strengths. If you're not good at numbers, that's fine. Find someone who is good at numbers.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not good at marketing, that's okay. Find someone who's good, you know, can market for you, help you market.
True. You can't be. That's the one thing I think the mistake restaurant owners make is they try to be everything, right?
Can't be everything. You're not.
Like you're not going to be good at everything. You may be okay at stuff and get better at it, but you're not going to be the best at everything.
That's you know, when you try to be great at everything, what is it? You know, when you try to be great at everything, basically you're good at nothing.
Yeah, I get emails all the time. I'm having a hard time finding people. What do I do? And I say, I don't know. Call somebody else. I don't know how to help you find people or train them. Like, that's not my expertise. I don't study that and do that all day long. So if you're looking to build manuals and training process, like, I'm not your guy. I don't know. I'm not going to give you an answer that I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah. But you call these guys or Mike Benino or.
Yeah. Facebook bot.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to like reach people or run some advertising or do some marketing or on or offline, call us. But. You know, we're not going to help you build a training process. Plus, I don't like that. I think it's kind of boring, but that's just not my what I like to do.
I like training.
I like to stay in my lane. That's what you guys like to do, right?
Yeah. We like training.
Yeah.
It's our thing.
You guys should do a training podcast together.
Should do a training podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Andrew likes the mood lighting. What is that?
Like, he didn't like that idea. He just left the show. Yeah.
I know electricity is valuable in California.
The restaurant, everything has to be energy saving, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, is that really like, what happens after so long? It just automatically
takes off? Energy saving at home. You know, my lights go off every 5 minutes. They turn off on me.
I wish I had that in my kid's bedroom.
Remember the clapper?
They leave the lights on all the time.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing?
That's awesome. Hey, guys, I want to say thanks so much for joining me on this first kind of live Facebook show. This was awesome. It was a good run, I thought. It was a good night.
Yeah, it was good. So much.
Andrew, how can people find you if they want to talk to you about?
Yeah, you can go to two websites, either carlsonhospitality.com or you can go to andrew-carlson.com. Those two things, you'll be able to find my social media links and everything. Those are the two main hubs to go to.
And if I wanted to go to Amazon tonight and get your book while I was still on special, what's the name again?
Customer Service is the Bottom Line. See with the arrow going up? Better customer service, better profits, better sales.
Good book. I highly recommend the book. Nice picture of Andrew on the back, by the way.
Oh, nice.
There it is. Thanks.
And Bruce, if people want to find you,
go to smartpizzamarketing.com.
SmartPizzaMarketing.com. And you actually do a Facebook live show on Tuesday nights.
We do.
And that's tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 8 p.m. Tomorrow's just me. We're going to talk about, I'm going to actually go over tomorrow a little, some marketing trends that I see coming for 2018. If you want to tune into that, it's going to be going over some, kind of like what I talked about earlier today, but a little bit more detail.
Cool. Hey, Andrew, let me throw something out. You ever notice that people on the East Coast, they always throw out the time zone and always say, like, they never like, quantify it like 8 p.m. Like they never say 8 p.m. Eastern time. They just think that everyone knows what the time is for that, right?
I know somebody had an email.
Andrew and I are on today, like we're plugging the show, and I'm like, it's 7:30 Mountain Standard Time. Andrew's like, 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. Bruce is like, 8 p.m.
Yeah, you know why though? Hey, listen, when do they have, I always say, when do they have the important things happen, right? It's 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's got to be the most important time if it's the 8 p.m. Eastern time. So we got to be the majority time, right? Yeah. Sorry, guys. Yeah. I'm just jealous because it's cold here and you guys are warm. So I only got the time. Just give me that at least.
Andrew, Jim thought you had a clapper because your lights kept going off.
No, I wish it was a clapper. Then I would stay on.
There you go. Hey, thanks for everyone who tuned in and listened. Again, it will be up on the Restaurant Coach Facebook page. Feel free, if you have any other questions, chime in there. We'll answer them as best we can. Reach out to Andrew. If you'd like to get some more information, definitely go to Amazon and pick up his book.
Yeah.
And tune in tomorrow night on Facebook, Smart Pizza Marketing. Bruce Irving will be live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's right.
That's it's 6 p.m. for us in the mountains. That's 5 p.m. on the West Coast. So
you can watch the replay if you can't catch it live.
Yes. That's one thing we like about this. If you can't catch it live, which is awesome. A great quote here, a great comment here. He related the timing of this. He said it was great. He was able to watch most of the live show. That's awesome. We love that.
Love it.
Again, Titus, thank you so much. Great content. Thank you. We love it when people chime in and tell us what you need. And I'm going to be doing the show every Monday night at 7:30 Mountain. So
what time is that? So carry the one. That's like midnight here.
9:30 your time. It's like a half hour to your bedtime. I know we're going over Bruce's bedtime right now.
I got my pajamas
Bruce
on.
Is like,
I got
Bruce is like snoozing on. Over there.
I love it.
Yeah.
Bruce is like snoozing. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thank you so much for watching.
Thank you,
Bruce. Thank you, Andrew, for participating on this first talk show. It was great. I can't think of two better guests I wanted to have on the first talk show with three people. So,
well, to quote Ant-Man, thanks for thanking of me.
No. I love it. Thank you.
All right. And on that, we're going to say good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.donaldburns.net or download episodes at iTunes and Stitcher Radio.